to Christ Community Church. We're so glad you're here. Last week we had this revival services that started last Sunday and went through Wednesday, and it was just awesome. I just want to say thanks to everybody who was involved, everybody who prayed or invited, or for the band who practiced extra hard and incorporated people in. Just all that happened, everybody who gave and all those things. But y'all, we're not in post-revival. You know, it's not about having some services and saying, well, let's check that off our list. Hey, we did that. That was awesome. What about next year? Let's do it again and it'll be awesome. It's kind of like, what about today? What about now? Did God show you something? You know, we had a concentrated form. That's kind of what revival was, hey, let's concentrate. Let's get a big, heavy dose of what God wants from us and shows us through His Word, and let's move on that. You think about that today. How would God have you move? What did He show you? Let the revival continue, and we're just going to rock on. Father God, we love You. We give You all the praise. We do it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Worship it now. that guides my heart.
Thank you.
That's one of my favorite songs that they got going on right now. Just focuses us on how awesome God is. And you know, when you know that, then you know how to define who you are. But it starts with Him, and He's a good, good Father. If there's anybody in here who usually goes to Nani, to Miss Helen's class, that'd be like four-year-olds to kindergartners, or any first to sixth graders here. Now, we've started to move those classes. When I usually say ready, break, they're actually going to start at 11 o'clock. They have their own worship time now. We've grown until they have their time. And so if you're here still and you think, hey, I'm supposed to be somewhere else, now's the ready break time. And go to your room, go to Miss Helen's room, or go to the children's worship room, and you'll be there. I see some hands being, I see that hand. I see them hands. There we go. We're going to get her done. Ready, break. You can do it. Don't be afraid. It's Miss Helen. Awesome. When you remember that, so our children's worship crew's taken on an extra segment of time and extra stuff, and so remind them that you appreciate them. Hug them. Shake them. Shake while you hug them. Y'all, listen. I'm going to read this passage of Scripture, and we're going to get started. We're going to pray. But I got to thinking on this past revival time, and I just want to share just a little bit of personal grace. That's the first time we had, a service like that. And these guys did so awesome. You know, the preachers were so great. Kevin did great. Jeff did great. And it made me want to show up today, like, with a guitar and a harmonica thing on my face. And be like, tell you about the stories that I know of people coming back to life after I prayed for them, like with hospice hands, like wow, and they came back. And I realized that's not me. You know, and then I thought, should I preach behind the pulpit? You know, that's kind of a new invention since we were here. Should I not come down there and be up in everybody's face and maybe shrink down a little bit like this and act a little stockier and be like, hey, telling you, it's gonna go on. It's a Jewish story and a Gentile story and a Jewish story. And talk Irish, Detroit Irish style. And I thought, okay, part of that's me. But that's not all me. And you know what I had to come to in the Lord? I just going to be me. Can I tell you about the grace of just being you? God made you. Matter of fact, we can find out who you are. Think about all the ways our culture can do that. We could take fingernail clippings and get your DNA, blood, retina scans, fingerprints, hair follicles, and we can know God made you to be you. I'm looking around and I'm thinking maybe hair follicle. But anyway, God made you to be you. He didn't make me to be them or them to be us or us to be someone else or you to be anybody else. Amen? Yeah, that's part of how the body works. And it's good. So we're going to be in Romans chapter 6. And my sermon has nothing to do with what I just read outside of just grace or what I just said. I just wanted to share that with you. I wanted to invite you into my weird world just a little bit. And in the book of Romans in chapter 6, I'm going to read 15 to 23. It says, "What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? No, certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slave whom you obey, whether a slave to sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members or your body as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members or your bodies as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit do you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is, and the gift of God is eternal in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Father God, as we consider this passage, as we consider the life that you've laid out for those who are under grace, under the gospel, free, show us what that freedom is. Help us not to be entangled again in that which brings death to us. Oh Lord, thank you for loving us enough to correct us, loving us enough to challenge us not to be a turkey. And Father, we do give you all the praise, and we do love you, and we give you all of it in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Hey, just curious, how long does it take when you're sick before you go to the doctor? I know there's a man answer and a woman answer, right? You know, like, the lady's like, "I think I could get sick, and it's Thursday, which is close to Friday, and the doctors are closed on Saturday, so I think maybe I just might have go precautionarily into the doctor." And then we got, like, the guy answer, which is somewhere like this: "Honey, you've been puking blood and limping in the house for like a year. Do you think you need a shot?" You know, you're like, "I don't want to go to the doctor." You're like, "It might be time, you know, to see somebody about what you're doing." And it doesn't make men tougher than women. It probably has something to do with the mental capacity. Anyways. Yes. I got the amens going on already. This is good. You know, I remember there was a time when I discovered, like, I never had an allergy problem to poison ivy. Never had a problem with that. Until the one day when I did. All of a sudden, I had this problem. And then the problem was compounded by my problem of not going to the doctor and getting a shot of these really wonderful, miraculous steroid deals that clear up that stuff. And if y'all remember that, we were in the old, old building. And I had what appeared to be leprosy. I've still never seen a case of poison ivy as bad as what I had poison ivy. Can I get a witness? Did anybody see that? Do you remember that? And I literally had my forearms wrapped with gauze, and it was dripping through liquidy, pussy, weird stuff. And it was nasty. And I was like, I'm not going to the doctor. I'm washing it with Dawn. I'm looking at every weird kind of, I'm going to wash it with Dawn liquid soap because it drives the oil away. I'm going to do all this stuff. And they're like, go to the doctor, you dummy. And I'm like, I'm going to work this out. It's going to work out. It's like, yeah, it's going to eat your arm away, and you're going to have like bones just sticking there. The flesh is gone. It's muscle underneath. We see the sinew. You know, it's, yeah. Why? Why don't we do that? Why? Ladies, why do we do that? Do you know why? Fellas, why do we do that? Why are we so hard-headed? Why don't we come to the doctor? Why don't we say, help us when it's time? What are we afraid of? Are we afraid that somehow we've failed the man test? Are we afraid that financially we will be ruined? Okay, there's some legitimacy to that one. There's a problem that still affects the people of God who are under grace. There's a problem that we incur, that we come across, that still brings symptoms, signs of death and dying to our life, to our spiritual life. And it's exactly what Paul's dealing with in this story. And what he's going to challenge us with is to, when we see these signs, when we see this happening, that we need to take care of it boldly, quickly, come to the doctor, come to the great physician, and deal with it. The problem that still aches us is not the religion or not being under sin and not falling short. The problem is we still get tangled up with sin. The problem is we still bring stuff into our life that's like poison to your soul. And so Paul actually asked twice this almost exact same question in chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 1. What shall then we say? What shall we say then? That was like Yoda speak.
Then what shall we say?
Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Look, if God was gracious to you because he found you as a sinner and he loved you and he poured his grace out on you because you couldn't take care of your sin on your own, which is what happened, well, doesn't it make sense then that I just keep on sinning? More sin, more grace, more sin, more forgiveness. Let me find an orgy. Let me get drunk. More sin. More forgiveness. Let me hate somebody right now because more sin. More forgiveness. It's going to work. That's not how it works. He says, no. That's not how it works. Do you realize you've been attached to Jesus? Don't you realize when you asked for forgiveness, you became somebody new? You were brought into a family. Not a family that says more sin, more forgiveness, more sin, more grace. He says, don't do it. Certainly not. And then in verse 15, he asked that big question again. What then? Shall we sin because we're under grace? Shall we sin now because we get away with it? I know that sounds so weird. Listen, let me tell you what happens sometimes in other churches with other Christians. They'll be like, I know this is wrong, but I'm forgiven. So I'm going to say, Lord, forgive me for what I'm about to do because you know it's inevitable. I got to get my freak on. I've got to do this thing. And I'm going to do it. And I don't care. I know it's wrong. I know it's going to hurt my soul, my witness. I know it's not good for me, but I'm forgiven. Woo! I'm going to jump in the deep end, baby. I'm going to hop in there and just get all filthy with it. Forgive me, Lord, for what I'm about to do. I'm not kidding. They do that in other churches. Oh, yes. Yes, they do. Other Christians think that's just the way to go. I'm under grace.
Wow! Freedom!
There is a great freedom under grace. There's a great acceptance under grace. But y'all, can I tell you that God says, don't do it. He gives us such a straight answer. Shall we continue to sin because we're under grace? He says, no stinking way. Absolutely not. Now, what I want to do is say, well, why not? You know how kids do? You tell them no, and they're like, how come? You're like, just don't do it. And they're like, why not? And you're like, eventually you get wore down. You're like, because I said don't do it under dad, and that's why you don't do it. Are you kidding me? Under father. Which is no like satisfying answer at all. They're still wondering,
why shouldn't I do it? All I want to do, it just seems fun. What harm could come from putting my... It's a butter knife, and that's an electrical outlet, and you know, it turns light bulbs on, and I want to see if my face glows, and I just want to do it. The stove, it's pretty when it's red. Can I touch it? You're like, no.
And usually we get impatient in the explanation. What's cool about this passage is God gives us some explanation of why he says no to sin. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the humility, the love, and compassion of God who will sit there and explain to us why he says no? When often in our lives we just say, because I'm your father. And I said so. Can you imagine if God just said that all the time? It's gracious that God even explains himself. This is where the word of God is, this means of grace, this bit of grace that we have where he explains, let me tell you, honey, why you shouldn't do the stupid things. Even though I have the right to say, I'm God, just don't do it because I said so, I'm going to help you and I'm going to explain it. And here's some things, here's some reasons why those under grace should not continue sinning. And can I tell you, before we go on, not one of them is because God will stop loving you. Y'all get that? I mean, at some point, people under grace have to grow up and become, you know, adults in the faith. God's not going to stop loving you. If you've come to understand anything about God, he invested his son, Jesus Christ, in you, and he's not going to take it back. The bell's been rung. He loves you. He's out. He said it first. He's never going to stop. So when it comes to why shouldn't we sin, it's never because God's going to like pull the rug out from under you and say, you're no longer my child, you're no longer part of my body, you're no longer part of my bride, you're no longer all these things. That's not one of the answers. Praise God, amen? That was like, I felt really, I don't like preachery. Praise God, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Because you need... It's all right, but can I tell you something? I've come to believe this. When you get an aha moment, when God shows you something like, ah, God's not going to leave me or forsake me because he said so, because he's awesome that way, and that's an aha moment to you, it should be followed by a woo-hoo moment. And so when you get this aha, God is good, it should be followed by an amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord, woo-hoo! Y'all get it? So aha is followed by a woo-hoo. So this right now will be the sign for woo-hoo. Because as your pastor, until you get the idea of these ahas are followed by you-hoos, I've got to... You got it. At some point or another, I'm going to be talking about sin and forget I just did that. And I'm going to put my hands out like that. And you're all going to be like, woo-hoo! And they're like...
I knew the Baptist had it right. We all just keep our hands in like this because that guy just messed that whole thing up.
Here's reasons why those who are under grace, saved by God through the blood of Christ, shouldn't keep sinning. Number one, it's because we have a choice. Y'all, listen. I don't know how you grew up, but I can tell you this. Before you knew Christ, you didn't have a choice. You had no choice. You were going to sin. The book in Proverbs says even the prayer of those who are opposed to God, and that's what the Bible says we were before we got saved, at enmity with God. It says even the prayer is an abomination. It says, even when somebody is opposed to God, the kindness that they try to show on their animal really is even cruelty. It's weird. When you're opposed to God, you don't have a choice. Matter of fact, it says, those who don't believe, they're condemned already. There's a condemnation. The world, the unsaved world, is experiencing this condemnation because of the sin of the world, because they're against God. But when we come to know Christ, we're brought into the family and we're given this choice that you never had before. A choice to follow hard after God. Listen to this. Verse 16, do you not know to whom you present yourselves to obey? You're that one's slave? Whether it's to sin or whether it's to obedience, whether it's to sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness, you and me now got a choice, baby. We don't have to be bound in all those old ways. Our sins have been forgiven. We've been put in right relationship with God. And now we have a choice. Do you reckon God is strong enough to keep you? Yes. Now I know we're modest. We're especially modest about spiritual things. Especially, I'm talking to the dudes again. There's right now, about every guy, if you've walked in here and maybe you're just kind of new here, you've probably sized up every other guy and you're like, I can take him if I need to. I mean, if I needed to, if it had to come down to it. Right now, I'm the baddest dude in this whole place right now. I can whoop everybody. Can I just tell you? You might can. I don't know. All I know, if it's me, if you need to run around in circles for about 30 seconds and just stay out of striking distance, because then I can't breathe anymore, and then I'm done. I'm going to surrender, I promise. I got the meanest 30 seconds of fight in me you'll ever want to bear. If it goes longer than that, I'm toast. I don't even know where I was going with that. But anyway, that's just true, though, about guys. Okay, just so in case you didn't know. Y'all, we have this choice. Now, I really did forget where I was going with that whole deal. But we have this choice. It'll come back to me, like in point seven. I'll be like, hey! We have a choice to walk with God. We have a choice. That's what I was saying. Don't you believe God is able? God is able. It says that His grace is greater than our sin. The end of the book of Jude says, now to Him who is able to keep us from stumbling and present us flawless with joy before the presence of God. Who is that talking about? It's not talking about our strength. It's talking about the strength of God with the ability to keep us. You might say, John, are you going to say that we'll never sin again? No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying we got choices to make that we didn't have before. We're not bound to be enslaved by sin and darkness and lust and hate and all those things. We have a choice. Believe me, there's enough sin in your life to have condemned you to hell already. You don't got to go making up more. There was plenty. If God wanted to hold it against us, He's got plenty. We have a choice. And I'm going to tell you, everything that we do, it starts with that choice. Are we going to choose to yield ourselves to God today? Are we going to choose? When we have that temptation, one of the songs that deliver us from temptation. Man, if only Jesus thought about getting us to pray that on a regular basis. Oh, yeah, He does in that Lord's Prayer thing, doesn't He? Deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation. Why? Because there's a choice. When you're under grace, there's a choice. A choice you didn't have before. A choice you didn't enjoy before. A choice that you would have blown before anyways. And I would have too. And I blow the choices that I have now, even as a born-again Christian. But I can tell you this. When I do, it tangles me up. Doesn't make God love me less. But you know, I watch a lot of Christians who are not walking in freedom, who are not walking in joy, who are walking in what seems to be bondage, still fettered up. And it's not a bondage. It's the bondage of the law that Moses gave. No, it's not. It's the bondage of the stupid that you made last night. That's where it is. That's what happened. You step in dog do, it stinks. You do stupid, it's stupid. Forrest Gump do that. Stupid is as stupid does. That's right. And we have a choice, and we have choice after choice. And listen, that's all this pressure. But I'm going to tell you, it's a good thing to have this choice. Because the slavery of sin brings death. And I'll say this again, but sin always pays. It always pays in death. Now, that doesn't always mean ultimate dying in hell, forever death, but it always pays in death. It just can't help itself. It always pays. It's always on time. It does a direct deposit right into your soul, right into your heart, right into your life, like a little bing. And you're like, oh, why is it that I feel so bad? You know, I'm a Christian and I'm saved, but I feel like dirt. Have you been living like dirt? Yes, but I don't know that that's really consequential. Really? It is. You had a choice. Okay, we have this choice. Two, reason why I shouldn't live, why those under grace, we don't have a license to continue sinning, is because we're grateful for the salvation we received from Christ. I don't know about y'all, but when I talk to God, there's a gratitude. I'm just always reminded. When I think about the song like we sing, "You're a good, good Father." You know, that image clarifies for me who God is. Why does he love? Because he's a good, good Father. And he came to get me. He didn't leave me. And I am so thankful. Verses 17 and 18, we see the shadow of the cross come across this passage. "But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." Let me tell you, that doctrine that you obeyed, if you are indeed saved, said this: you are a sinner, separated from God, but God loved you. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb of God, to shed His blood for you, to die on your behalf. It was like you were dying. It was like you died. It was like you were there. And because of that, and because He was victorious, and He rose from the grave 3 days later, went and ascended into heaven 40 days after that, and was fully accepted by God and has sat down at the right hand of God, you and I have something we can never lose. We could have never bought. We could have never gotten. Because He set us free from sin when He made us children of God. Amen. Did you know He did that? Man, that's the right of the children of God. You know, are you going to let somebody come down? Now, here's a man-woman thing, too. I don't know why I'm picking on men and women, like differences, but it's cool. I'm digging it right now. Can I tell you, if my boys on the street we live on, which can be rough sometimes, were to get into a fight and come home bloody nose, fat lip, black eye, can I tell you that those people would be so much better off if they deal with me than if they deal with my wife? Like, I'm going to go down to their house. Yeah, it seems like your kid and my kid got into a fight. I don't know what it was over, but we need to, like, figure this out, you know, because this doesn't need to happen. And the guy would be like, "Yeah, you know, you're right. Let's do this. You know, we'll figure it out. Hey, Jimmy, come here. What's going on?" And we'll talk about it, you know, and probably end up having a root beer together, high-fiving, and going away friends. Now, if it's my wife, she ain't knocking on the door. She's running into it with her shoulder. Boom! Somebody in here assaulted my son, and the police are on the way right now, and I'm going to... Who was it? There's no semblance of sanity or reality. It wasn't like kids get... That was my baby. Somebody laid hands on my baby, and I'm going to get them now. And you'll see this mama bear like bang. And it's going to be bad. Can I tell you something? In this way, I believe God responds more like the ladies would when He sees His people stuck and trapped in sin. Because I'm going to tell you, there was nothing subtle about the cross. There was nothing subtle about how God came and got and won our salvation. There wasn't making friends with sin. There wasn't making friends with the devil. It was coming in, "I have whooped you. You will know you've been defeated forever because you took my people, took them away from me, and I've come to get my babies, and I've won them, and I'm taking them, and I'm destroying you." Like I said in the beginning, your head will be crushed. He responds a lot more. He responds a lot more like that. And because of that, I say to myself, thank you, God, that I'm not bound to sin and the obvious consequences that come, the eternal consequences that come. Number three, why we should continue in sin no longer. Or we shouldn't use that excuse, I am under grace, so I'm going to continue sinning, and it's going to be just my way of life. It comes from this opportunity. This is, I don't know that I'll articulate this really well, but this is the part that really fires me up. It's the opportunity to live wholeheartedly for Jesus. And you might say, does that really fire you up? It does really fire me up. You know, because when I was a sinner, I didn't grow up in church. I lived whole hog for selfish fulfillment. I was free from God. Y'all might not understand that because a lot of you've grown up in church. You've grown up with a mindset that there is a God. I grew up in a mindset there was no God, and if there was, he didn't matter or he didn't care. And I lived to fulfill myself. I lived for my pleasure. Now, I got to see the emptiness of that life. I've got to see the short-sightedness of that life. But I lived so free from worrying about what does God think about this? I wonder what God would think if I do these things or those things. And I wonder, does God want me to get a tattoo or not a tattoo? Or does God want me to do this? Or I won't be at church. And I had no care whatsoever. So carefree. So on fire for lust and sin and things that ultimately bring death. It was like, wow. I'm not saying it was great because I came to see the emptiness of that. That's also the time when I contemplated suicide because I didn't know there was nothing to live for. Because the things that people were like coming around to themselves and doing when they had their mid-age crisis, I was doing. These were the things we were already doing with that short Jewish karate guy that was here. We were doing it. It just didn't matter. Whatever we wanted to do, we did it. I know the people who weren't here during the revival, you're like, who's the short Jewish karate guy? That's my buddy Jeff, who's my best friend, who preached a revival service Monday and Tuesday. But you know what? Why is it now that I live for God, I feel like I'm beholden to this old life of sin? Why do I even give a second thought to the dark ways and the dark stuff that was taken from me in Christ? Why do I handicap myself as if I won't be cool if I don't got a little dirt on me? You know what I'm saying? I don't want anybody to think I'm a Jesus freak because I walk this path through the power of God, walking in the Spirit as if it's some kind of shameful thing. And so I need to keep, you know, keeping it real. Messing up every once in a while, just keeping it real. Letting y'all know that I'm still a human being. A human being that still gets shackled down by stupid things because stupid is as stupid does. Why do I even live with any reference to that point of life? When I was not saved, I lived with no reference toward God. Now that I am, why do I live with any reference toward my past, toward my sin nature? The Bible says, don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Make no provision. I was watching this documentary and gotten into this World War II deal again. Which is just a fascinating topic for me to study, and I'm watching this. And they talk about how when Hitler moves into Russia, he's almost at Moscow, and he commands his generals to just head due south towards Kiev, and there was another army going towards Kiev, and they encircled over 600,000 Russian soldiers and took them prisoner. 600,000 people. And you know what they did? Nothing. They just kept them in prison until they died because they had no provision. They didn't give them a crust of bread. They gave them nothing. What happens to people, even big groups of people like 600,000? What happens to them if you give them nothing? Over time, what happens? What do they die of? Or lack of nutrients, lack of things. And so the Bible says, make no provision to fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know what that thinks to me, makes me think of? Maybe that part will die if I stop feeding it. Maybe if I stop being so kitty with it, like, oh, it's my pet little sin. You know what it's so cute looking to, baby. It's all right. Oh, here comes some other Christians.
Hi, how are you? I'm a pastor and I'm really holy inside.
They're gone again, baby. Oh, he's so cute. Here's a cookie. My doctor had to jump on my head. And I don't know about y'all. I don't like having my head jumped on. But I just got to tell y'all this story. You know, because I've been working out. I've been doing better. I have type 2 diabetes. I was so in denial of that for years, which doesn't make diabetes go away, by the way. Anyway, so I have this thing going on. And somewhere last year, I stopped eating sugar, sweets, cake, ice cream, cookies, all that, just gone, okay? And if you try to give me some, it's like trying to hand me heroin. Please don't. I will not, you know, it's not flattering, it's not healthy, it's not helpful. Don't even give it to me or think about it. I don't need it. Point being, though, then I started working out. And so, like, I'm doing CrossFit, which, like, is voluntary torture, okay? It's like I said something about Hitler. Anyways, just it's bad. And so I'm doing this stuff, and I gained 20 pounds since January. Put on 20 pounds, almost at 350 pounds again. I know, I'm the biggest preacher you know. John, our guy, he's a really big preacher, you know what I'm saying? Big. And so here I'm at 350. My doctor, I'm there because I have soreness in my back. Probably has to do with getting beat up. But my wife said, let's go to the doctor, which I had 3 or 4 months left that I could have limped until I had to go. But she's like, come on, let's do it. So I go, and they take, I'm sorry about this story. Anyways, they do a test. They test my urine, okay? And because they want to make sure I don't have rhabdo or some kind of weird thing because my back and my kidney area is hurting. Couldn't do nothing with the weights on my back and doing all this weird stuff. It's, you know, something internal. And in that test, they found all kind of a high level of glucose of sugar, which means my sugar level was high. At which point, my doctor goes, like, ballistic. And he says, you're going to have a heart attack and you don't even believe me. And, he starts just railing at me. I'm like, oh! At which time, Sarah, who is with me, God love her, she's trying to help me. She goes, he stopped eating sweets. He doesn't even look at her. He stays locked into me and says, it don't matter if you stopped eating sweets. You're still putting all those carbs in your body and all that stuff's poison. And then she goes, but he's working out. And he, again, doesn't look at her. He's straight at me. It don't matter. You can't outwork out a bad diet. You're going to, I mean, he is just stomping my head in. And I'm looking at Sarah like, stop defending me. Stop. You're like so getting me to. And so, I mean, it was so bad. I mean, I was getting angry. I'm like, I'm going to have to fight my doctor. Like, just to save my honor in front of my woman. Like, I'm going to have to at least say something like, I won't have you talking that way in front of my bride. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to have to back him down somehow. And then probably he'd probably whoop me. And I'd be like, I'm not going to have you whoop me like this in front of my bride. And so I'm wondering what in the world's going on. And his message was essentially this. You keep feeding yourself that poison. You're a diabetic, and it's hurting you every single time. So every time you think you just do this little bit better type thing, you're still hurting yourself every single time because you haven't given yourself wholeheartedly to the fact that you need to live healthy. And I'm telling you, body of Christ, when we keep flirting and messing with sin, every time it raises the sugar level and it's not good for you, it brings signs of death. And I want to tell you what some of those signs are. It occurred to me this weekend, I have a song in my pocket, but I'm not going to sing it. It's an old bluegrass song. Maybe I'll sing a little bit. It's called Oh Death. Oh Death. And all right, I won't sing it. It's by Ralph Stanley. If you want to look it up, you can. But it says, I'll fix your feet till you can't walk. I'll lock your jaw till you can't talk. I'll close your eyes so you can't see. And these are signs of death. And I look at the body of Christ and I say, why are they so silent? Why don't they go? Why don't they see? Maybe it's because we've gotten all tangled back up in sin again. And those signs of death that lock our hands. You know what will keep you from witnessing to your friend sure as anything? You wrestling with the sin that's fresh in your life, thinking you ain't got no business sharing about God with somebody else when your life is so messed up. You know what will keep you from going? Is the fact that you don't go yourself. You don't invite on somebody else. Wait a minute. Let me speak English. If you're not going, you're never going to invite anybody to come with you. These are the signs of death in a Christian life. You know, it's not about all about just hell and eternity. But living this life right now, wholehearted for God, on fire for God, saying, yes, Lord, I want to go forward with you. And yet, when we sin, it's like we don't see anymore the glory of the Lord. We don't see the love of the Lord. We don't see the need that people have for the Lord. It's because death has started working in us already. It'd be like as if they took Lazarus out of the tomb. Do you remember what Jesus said when Lazarus came out of the tomb? Did he say, hey, right on, party on. And just walk on, and here's Lazarus all mummified in these death clothes. He said what? Take the death clothes off of him. And it'd be like after he ate lunch, they said, well, hey. He said, hey, it was kind of comfortable. I kind of liked it. Could you wrap my hands back up again? Could you put that bandage thing around my head? It's a little cold out here. That's the way I'm used to living. Would you put those death clothes back on me? Child of God, that ain't meant for you. It ain't never meant for you. We're meant to live free. Not free from God. Free with God. Not in license, sin more, get more grace. But free to say, God, what do you want me to do? What would you have me to do? That, what a wonderful life. And just to close this out, sin, this is the fifth thing why you shouldn't. Sin always pays. Sin always pays. It always does. It's like the most faithful employer you will ever, ever have, I promise. It pays little, it pays much, but it always pays. It's direct deposit. It'll be there. You can count on it. You earned it too, because pay is what you earn. And so when we get tangled back up and we experience this stuff that's contrary to a child of God, don't blame it on everything else. Take a look. Where could it be? What's going on? And then where do you take it? As you take it to God. Because as a child of God, you've come to understand He's a good, good Father. I don't kick my kids out of the house for making mistakes. And I'm not that good a father. God loves you. God doesn't pay, by the way. We need to get that out of our head. If I do right, then God's going to bless me with all these blessings and all this stuff. God doesn't pay. God gives. You understand the difference between give and pay? You earn your pay. And when we sin, even as children of God, there's this stuff that tangles us up. Don't be tangled up again in the sin that so easily ensnares us, is what it says in Hebrews chapter 12. But God gives. He gives grace that leads to life. And it leads to eternal life. What are the signs of eternal life? Can I tell you, it starts with love. Starts with joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Against these there are no law. You have those by right as a child of God. You don't have to earn them. You couldn't earn them. But they can be given to you as you walk with the Lord. Isn't it awesome? It's just the atmosphere that surrounds God. It's the Spirit who is God, who's present with us. This is the life. And y'all, we need to stop being fence riding and say, I'm done with that. I'm going to live free from reference to my past sin life. And I'm going to live full, wholehearted, pure-hearted for God and for God alone. Now listen, what happens then when you find out? What happens when you say, because there's people in here right now who can put a finger on it and say, you know, there is this sin right here that has stopped me from living the full Christian life. It's right here. I know what sin I'm tangled up in. That's just one of the things that I'm convinced of. I know the Holy Spirit can reveal things to us that we don't know. But in the church, I'm pretty sure most of us know. It's like those other churches. They say, forgive me for what I'm about to do. Forgive me for just ignoring what your word has said. Forgive me for these things. And I'm going to do it anyway. You might need to lay some things down. I just want to invite you to do it. Come lay it down. When I have a chance to lay things down, sin-wise, there's two things that I usually do. One, I wrestle with what particular sin it is and all that's, you know, in the particulars. And I lay that down. I call it out in my mind. I confess it to the Lord. And that's a really good, that's cool. That's good. If you have that in your mind, that's cool. But if you're just a child of God who's been living as if sin is just the way to go and living still in that old life and feeding the pet sin, you might just need to say, God, I've come to give you me again. I had just come to give you me again. Not being saved again, because that's something God does once for all. I'm just coming to say, for whatever reason, I let myself get caught up in this again, and it's like, I know I'm not right. I know I shouldn't be holding this shame. I didn't even touch on that, and I so wanted to. It says, when you live that old lifestyle, what do you have that you're not ashamed of? You know, as my boys and girls enter into their teenage years, how can I reflect on my teenage and young adult years and say, let me tell you how you should live? I go, no, let me not tell you a whole lot. Ask your mama. Maverick, just go ask your mama. Because those things, they don't work. How about now? How about you being a Christian now? Can you take your Christian life and say, look, this is how you be a disciple. This is how you follow Christ. Somehow we act like that's not our gig. Somehow we act like we're supposed to be children of God who know nothing about being children of God. That's not it. The good life comes in being a child of God under the grace of God who is wholehearted. Yes, God. If there's anything stopping you from being that, that's what I'm asking you to lay down. And if it's just a matter of saying, I got to lay myself down again, then this is your time. This is your call. We're going to have a time of invitation, and I'm going to pray for us, and you respond as you need to, all right? But this is your time. And if God started something in you, maybe at revival, maybe now in this service, who knows? But if you need to make some decision, we make this time available so that we're not even asking you to compete with the buffet. You know, we're not asking you to compete with lunch or with family time and all those things. This is a safe place to do business with God. But I don't ever want you to mistake this. This is never, ever the only place where you can do business with God. I hope at night when you lay down and you think, and it's just you and Him, that you think, God, what would you have me to do? And I'll tell you, He'd be ready to do business with you right there too. Father God, thank you for how you love us. Thank you for this time. And I pray as we have a moment of invitation, Lord, if there's anybody who is trapped in any kind of sin they've entangled themselves into, Father, that you, through your grace, through your just through who you are, being a good Father, that you would bring freedom and joy and life, and you'd show them that the choice is there and that you can help them every single day. You don't ever leave us to do this on our own. You help us every day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, now's your time.
To your heart, a praise.
I'm going to ask that the ushers would come forward, take the morning offering. Father God, again, we thank you for what you're doing, for who you are. And Father, we just ask and thank you for what we're going to receive and that it's given cheerfully. And we do love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Couple quick announcements. Ready? One, baby dedication is next Sunday. It's also Mother's Day. If you have a mama, call her, write her, hug her, tell her something nice. And if you have a baby that you want to dedicate, you need to see my wife, Sarah. I think we have some, but there's like other babies that she's aware of who maybe are not on the dedication list. And when they come up, we're going to be like, not your baby, not on the list. We don't want that to happen. Amen? Amen. So see Sarah today. Also, this beautiful quilt that's been staring at us for a long time. We are raffling it. We're not, that's it. Next Sunday after church, it's gone. It's going to somebody. Somebody on Mother's Day is going to come away with this awesome quilt. And again, it's $5 per ticket. It costs $5 to get a Katina Power burrito at Taco Bell. The big Gatorades cost almost $5. You can get a handmade awesome quilt for $5. It's economy. It's just simple, just economics, make the right decision. All the proceeds go to the building fund. Building lasts longer than burrito. Do the math. Buy a ticket. Raffling it off next Sunday. Amen. Also see my wife Sarah for that. Last but not least, this Friday, we are, as a church, we've been challenged. The gauntlet has been laid down to go to the square in the middle of downtown Grenada and be a part of reading the New Testament in its entirety and Psalms and Proverbs. On May 6th, Friday, May 6th, from 1 to 3 p.m., is when our church, Christ Community Church, is coming up there to read out loud the Bible in our town. Now, that's going to be really good, unless it's like me, by myself, up there for reading for 2 hours, because an hour into it, I'll be like, and the third beast was ugly. And it just, I'll lose my, it'll be bad. I'll be lip-syncing the word and not read. I hit play on a recorder. I need your help, okay? So it's this Friday, May 6th, 1 to 3, the square in Grenada. It's that way. Come join me. Let's read the Word of God together. Amen? All right.
Relay for Life is after that.
And Relay for Life is after that. See Paul and Lori Barrow, who are raising money for the Relay of Life to come to a cure of cancer. You know, God's going to whoop that. Anyways, you just know He is, and it'd be cool to be a part of it. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father God, thank You for loving us. Thank You for this time. Thank You for allowing us to gather in Your name. Literally, there is nothing better we could have been doing. No matter how we lie to ourselves or anyone lies to us, this is where it's at. We thank You for it. We thank You for Jesus Christ our Lord. We ask as You send us out that we would choose life, not death. And we give You all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank You for letting me be your pastor. I love you. Ready? Break!